You get out of your seats. I want you to shake hands with everybody you can. Let's fellowship one with another. Something. I think we're waiting to get to heaven to shout the victory. All right, I'm looking out here. Some of y'all going, when we all get to heaven. All right, now I'm looking over here. I've been waiting for the young people to pick up a book yet. They don't know this song, and evidently they can't read yet, so I don't know which two it is. But anyway, we might ought to let the young people sing one verse of this and see how well they do on it. But anyway, they may be looking around, the rest of us too. We're thinking about tomorrow. Some of us have to work and others of us don't have to work tomorrow. So, you know, some of us are not happy about that. Let's be happy tonight. We don't have to wait to get to heaven because everything's already settled now for us right now. It's already done. It's finished. So it's just like being there. All right, let's do that last again. Onward to the prize before us, but let's look happy while we're headed there. All right, ready? Sing. Onward to the prize before us. Jim Edmonds, come up here and lead us in prayer, if you would, please. And let's pray and ask the Lord to bless tonight. Good to have those that are visiting with us. And, of course, tonight in our service,
We're going to be ordaining a couple of new deacons, and we'll recognize them and their families in just a little while. But let's pray and ask the Lord to move in our hearts tonight.
Shall we pray? Our Father, as we come to thy throne of grace tonight, we thank you for the privilege to be in thy house and worship thee. We praise you tonight for your mercy and grace to us. We ask you tonight to touch those that might be sick in their body and unable to be here. Father, may the Holy Spirit move in our midst tonight. Speak to our hearts through the Word of God tonight and open our understanding we might understand the Scriptures. We praise you for what you're going to do. Anoint the singing tonight. May it uplift us and revive us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, you may be seated. Just a few things to make mention of real fast. You've heard me mention before about the preach and going to the rescue mission to preach. We do this on the third Thursday of every month. We're going to do it throughout all of 1998. We did it in 97. Brother Bob's headed that up. And he wanted me to announce it one more time because he's just about got the whole year filled. I think he's missing three more months, September, October, and November. And he's got a lot of the young preachers and things like that. And so he's got those 3 dates. So if you're interested, or Sunday school teachers, you want to take your Sunday school class down there, that would be a wonderful, wonderful idea for you to do. But see Brother Bobby, he's got those 3 dates remaining, September, October, November, and you see him about that, and it'll be a blessing to you if you'll go down there and preach. And it was a blessing to me last year to go down there, and God will use you, and he'll bless you for it. And then I wanted to remind you, and I know I don't need to remind you about this, but we're right at the beginning of a wonderful contest. And blue team, the red team whipped our socks this morning. The blue team had 14% over their previous average. The red team, they had 22% over their average. And I was told after the service, the confusion was I got mixed up on my reds and blues. My bad. I think I do pretty good for getting my education in West Virginia. But anyway, we're excited about how God's blessing. And I was thrilled to see how hard you worked through the week and how many people came out this morning to Sunday school. And you keep that up. Sunday school teachers, you keep working hard. And because don't forget, now whoever loses, now if I lose or Brother David loses, we're going to get the brunt of it at the end of the contest. But you're going to be involved too. You remember last year, the losing teachers, you had to wear that ridiculous looking wig and get up in front of everybody and sing a song. It was something that it's worth you to work for. So you keep working, keep plugging away, and let's get people in here, and let's see a lot of souls saved. I tell you what, we don't want to have a lot of fun, but I tell you, when I pray for this thing every day and pray about it every day, the number one thing that I pray for is that souls would be saved throughout this next 8 weeks in the red and blue contest. And then the second thing I pray for is that I don't have a banana split built up on top of my head. But that's the second thing. The first thing is to see souls getting saved. So you keep working, and God will bless you for it.
Well, praise the Lord. How many of you are excited about Temple Baptist Church? Are you?
Amen.
I praise God for what he's doing here. In every age group, something special is going on. And if you don't know what's going on in your age group, you're just not listening or not involved. There's something happening. So let God just minister to you through the ministries of this church. I got a note here from our Awana leaders, and they're growing so quickly there in the Awana program. They need more leaders. And in a few minutes, some of our Awana leaders will come and give away some awards. You may want to say a quick word about what you need specifically, if you need a listener or whatever your need is. But please pray about this. God is sending in leaders. Nearly every week somebody joins, but we need several right now. We can use probably a half dozen leaders right now. Say, Brother David, what do you need me to do? Well, if you'll come and talk to me, I can give you a better picture one-on-one of exactly what it is. But it's working with children, and we have our leaders and teachers in place. And a lot of times we just need somebody to listen as the children quote verses, make sure they say them word for word, and that they say their little parts right. So it may be a listener. We may need somebody just to be there to help take them to the restroom or take them to their recreation time. So please pray about it. If God's leading you in that, then talk to me or talk to one of the Awana leaders. Now, Ed Dunlop is coming next Sunday, Lord willing. He'll be here in the morning service. And I have some little flyers, and these are for the children. I think I have about 25 or 30. And if you have a friend, if you're up through about the sixth grade, and you'd like to get one of these, see Brother David, see me after the service, and I'll give you one of these that you can hand to a friend at school tomorrow. And you can invite them to come and hear Ed Dunlop. And I tell you what will happen while they're here. While they hear him, they're going to hear from the Lord. And he uses, Ed Dunlop uses a lot of things to help get children's attention. He uses ventriloquism, gospel magic, and then just preaching. And a lot of object lessons, visual aids, and things. And it'll be a lot of fun. And yet, at the same time, meeting that great goal of getting the gospel out. God's called us to do that. And I praise the Lord for Ed Dunlop having a window in his busy calendar to come here next Sunday. I couldn't get him for a meeting until next January. And I said, all right, come on, we want you next January too. We'll have him for a whole week. Before the Awana leaders come, I want to recognize some of our youth workers that help us on Wednesday night. If you're helping us back in the youth department on Wednesday night, would you stand, please? Remain standing for just a moment. I want the church to be able to pray for you as we pray for each other. Look around, please. There are some up in the balcony. We have one man that's always wired, and that's our sound bite, Brother Rick. There, I appreciate Brother Rick. He's my assistant Sunday school teacher and always working. And over here, we have some getting out of the woods. Appreciate. And back there's Damon and Rhonda. Appreciate them so much. Brother Damon preaches for us on occasions, and Miss Rhonda is working in the office, secretarial work and support. And then we have all the way from A to Zinc back there in the back, the Zincs and Star. Appreciate them. And the Pearl of great price. Two pearls over there. Where's Drama Mama? Drama Mama, that's Susan. She's in charge of our drama, affectionately known as Drama Mama. She's in charge of the drama team, and she's in the nursery. And there's QB, Angel there, our angelic one, helping us with the Valentine banquet. She's in charge of that. We call her QB. You know, Cubid, that you'll get that later. And I see Rush Paintball down here on the front. He's in charge on our paintball committee coming up. And Sweet Bite there, Miss Evelyn, she always has refreshments after the Wednesday night service. And there's T-Note, the Turnmeyers. They meet our music. Where's Brother Kim? Stand up back there, Brother Kim. Bless you. One of the most important jobs is getting the young people singing. And Miss Janet and Brother Kim, they help us with the music. And over here's my love note. Praise the Lord. And Michelle, always smiling and working. Oh, yeah. And back there is Czar. You know Czar back here in the middle? He's in charge of our Lazar tag. We know him. We call him Czar. And the fiddler back there, Brother Woods and Brother Turnbull. I appreciate all of our workers. And I hope I didn't miss anybody that's standing. I know Doris. Is Doris not here? Let's give a show of appreciation for them. Would you please? Doris isn't here. I believe they had some boys having birthdays, and I'm sure they'll be here in a little while if they're not. But we have a mission trip planned in July, going to Ukraine, and then another trip to Romania. And Doris is heading up what we're calling the mission trip navigator. She's getting everybody's money in place, not giving it. She's just making sure it's allocated right, and she's keeping track of all of that. So that's the mission trip navigator. So we call her Allie for alligator. Amen. You think she's Doris, we call her Allie. But I appreciate all of our workers. And there's others, like Karen has helped us a lot. And Kevin has done a lot of work with our sound equipment. Much I could say, but I appreciate all of our workers. And here at the beginning of the year, I wanted to take a moment, hope you don't mind, in recognizing our leaders. They help us on Wednesday night. We break into small groups, and we're hoping to get the teen group up over 100. And I can't do it by myself. One horse operation just won't get it. And everybody has responsibility. And it's working for the glory of God. All right, Awana leaders, come, please, and present your awards. And let's encourage these that receive awards. If you see them after church, talk to them, congratulate them, and let's encourage them. All right, Miss Angie's first.
Okay, I'm going to start out with the Cubby Awards. Cubbies are 3- and 4-year-old preschoolers, and I need all of these Cubbies to come up. I need Zachary Benson and Justin Johnston, Janie Daggett, Jamie Sneed, Garrett Woody, and Allison Holcomb. You guys come up here. Okay, these are just a few. Here comes Garrett. Just a few of my Cubbies. And tonight they're all going to get their elephant patch. And what they did to get this is this week, in the past about 3 weeks or so, they've learned about their shapes and their colors. And we've been talking about the days of creation. They had to tell me what God made on each day of creation. So they're all getting their elephant patch. Are you tired, Justin? Mine went to sleep. He's not up here. He couldn't hold on that long. Okay. There's Garrett. Here you go. Justin, and Zachary back here, and let's see, Allison, and Janie. There you go. You guys did a good job. Okay, y'all can go back now, okay? Oh, here's my money. Oh, what'd you say? No money.
Okay, I need Brittany Sneed, Jordan Spence, and Kirby Gillett. And while they're coming, last week a total in our club, we had 135, so we do need help. I know in the Sparks, which is kindergarten through second, we need some listeners in our kindergarten club because we have about 16 kids and two leaders in there, so it's really not enough. Okay, first I have Brittany Sneed. She's earning a red jewel, and she learned 14 verses. Then I have Jordan Spence. She's earning a red jewel. She learned 4 verses. She had to find John 3:16 in the Bible, and she had to learn the New Testament books. And Kirby Gillett is earning his skipper rank patch. He attended Sunday school. He learned the talking rules and 4 verses.
We also need some helpers. We could use a couple men or women just to listen and to help supervise when we have third and fourth grade boys, and sometimes they like to just fly to the gym, and we need them to walk to the gym, and to sit while we have what we call council time, where we have a Bible story and we do some learning. Sometimes they get little ants in their pants and like to jump all around. So we could use a couple of listeners, and we'd love to have some helpers. We also, 2 things we'd like to ask you to pray for. Quizzing is coming up. I know I said it last week, but we do need a lot of prayer for these kids. Everybody, 3rd grade to 6th grade, is learning, working real hard to learn sections, and we'd like to bring home a trophy for Temple Baptist. If we could, we'll be happy with a ribbon, though, if we get that. So if you'd pray for us about that, all the practice. And we have a clubber who's having a birthday today. His name's Shelton Love. If you would tell him happy birthday after church, embarrass him real good, he'd like that. Our motto is the other boy for Christ, and this boy wouldn't come without his another boy for Christ. So he's here with his friend. His name's Micah Starnes, and he's earning his brave patch. He said 13 verses, did a puzzle, and attended church 3 weeks in a row, and we're real proud of him. Thank you.
I want to say I appreciate all of our workers and leaders and everything. Well, I was thinking we've had a plethora of names tonight. Wired, Soundbite, and then, of course, there's Sparkies and Cubbies and whatever. Unusual. Well, let's have our toters come forward to receive our offering. Amen. And you give tonight, and the Lord will bless you for it. Amen. Encourage you to be faithful in your giving and give. I always give on Sunday morning, but I forgot mine this morning, so I have it tonight. But we encourage you to be faithful in giving. Let's pray. Remember, all the things are going on. Father, we thank you now for all the good things you're doing. Bless the offering now, and we do pray you continue to move in every heart, meeting every need, working in every life. Bless this service tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
to God, He's coming again.
Hallelujah! He's coming again. Hallelujah! I don't know just when. Hallelujah! I'm looking for Him. Just any moment, He's coming again.
Well, some morning soon, He's coming again. The message is given, the call has gone out. At the sound of the trumpet, we'll leave with a shout. Hallelujah!
He's coming again. Hallelujah! I don't know just when. Hallelujah! I'm looking for Him. Just any moment, He's coming again. Hallelujah! He's coming again. Hallelujah! I don't know just when. Hallelujah! I'm looking for Him. Just any moment, just like He said. Coming in power, gonna raise up the dead. Hallelujah.
The city of light, for the armies of angels with all of their might are patiently waiting together. His bride, he's coming to take me home. The bells in the tower, they no longer ring. Heaven's choir stands silent. They're waiting to see. Everything's ready for the bride, and the King, he's coming to take me home.
There'll be no tears when he is the Father's high. All heaven knows he's coming for his bride
to bring them in victory to the Father.
Comes down.
Let me get Damon and his wife and family and David and Sharon and their family, and I want them to come. And a few folks right here on the second row, we'll let them take that row. We'd appreciate it so much.
While the choir's coming down, turn over to page 463. When the roll is called, now,
when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be so known, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll
thank you. May be seated. We're going to ask Brother David if he'll come now and sing for us.
describe its beauty as upon the stem it grows. Matchless in its glory, the tender little rose. But when its petals are broken, its greatest beauty it shows. Far greater is the fragrance of the broken rose, the most beautiful rose was broken one day, nailed to a tree on a hill so far away, forsaken by his friends, bruised by his foes. How sweet is the fragrance of heaven's sweet rose. Thank God for this life source. I'm glad it didn't stay dead. Then they laid heaven's rose in an old borrowed tomb. But on that third day, heaven's rose again did bloom. Now to the heights of heaven, down to the deepest hell, the fragrance of heaven's rose, it doth continually dwell. The most beautiful rose was broken one day, nailed to a tree on a hill so far away, forsaken by his friends, bruised by his foes. How sweet is the fragrance of heaven's sweet rose, forsaken by his friends, bruised by his foes. How sweet is the fragrance of heaven's sweet rose.
I appreciate Brother David and appreciate Brother Damon. And, of course, as I mentioned, we are ordaining these men tonight, adding them to our deacon body. And I want to say, before I ask them to come and say a word right before the message, that we were talking in the deacons meeting earlier tonight, and I was sharing with them how blessed that we are, how blessed I am as a pastor, how blessed we are as a deacon body. And I told them that I felt like the Temple Baptist was in many ways as much like a New Testament church as any that I had ever been associated with, and many that I am around and whatever. And I say that because if I read the scripture correctly, I've always understood that the government of a church was a theocracy and not necessarily a democracy. And that has always been an issue that some have trouble with. But when I say it's a theocracy, it's not so much that it's led by people and settled by a vote, but as you look in the scripture, you'll find that a church is led through spirit-filled leadership as God communicates his truth to them and leads them, and they in return lead that congregation forward. And I am fortunate as a pastor, and these deacons are extremely fortunate that you as a church have given us the liberty to lead you as we feel like God is leading us. And of course, you always have the right that if we are ever unfaithful to the Word of God, if I was ever unfaithful to the Word of God, you would have the right as a congregation to remove me immediately. And if I'm not faithful to the Scriptures, that's what you ought to do. And if we ever lead you wrong, you have a right to say that is not according to the Word of God. But you have given us liberty, and you've given us freedom, and we are blessed. And as a deacon body, we're thankful for them. And I thank God for our deacons. And you won't hear me. I don't go around talking about how bad our deacons are and how they need to be hung or shot. I've had a few through the years I felt that way, but not these. And I thank the Lord for them. And I thank the Lord for these that we are adding tonight. I want Brother David to come just say a word. And of course, both of these men are in the ministry and been called of God, and we feel like that is an asset as to be added to our deacon body as well, to continue serving with us. And there are many others, men here, that we're looking forward to God adding to us. We have a few requirements that we ask of deacons, and that is that they have been a member here at least 2 years, it may be 3 years, and a few other things. But there's others here that we're looking forward to God's going to add, but we're thankful for these two men. I want Brother David to come and say a word. I think just say a word in his testimony, and then Brother Damon, right afterwards, I want you to come and say a word right after Brother David. So let's recognize David's family. Sharon is, of course, his wife, and David's mother is here. Would you two folks stand, and let's welcome his mother. And good to have you folks with us tonight. I appreciate so much you being here.
Well, I'm glad to say that there was a time in my life when I realized I didn't know the Lord, and I knew if I died like that, I'd go to hell. And I asked Jesus to forgive my sins and save my soul, and I'm glad he did. And it's a privilege to serve as a deacon. I thought of a story the other while ago that I heard about one time at R.A. Torrey was very busy one day, and he asked a student over at Moody Bible Institute to shine his shoes for him. Would you polish my shoes, please? I'm in a hurry. I do it myself. And the student said, I don't have to polish your shoes, and he walked on. Another student by the name of Gray walked up to Dr. Torrey. He said, Dr. Torrey, I'll be glad to polish your shoes for you. And he did. Years later, this young man became president of Moody Bible Institute, Dr. Gray. The other man nobody ever heard of. And I just hope and pray that I'll be the type of person to where I'm willing to do anything for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Nothing is too big. Nothing is too small. I want to thank the church for putting faith in me and asking me to be a servant of your church, of our church. And please pray that God will give me wisdom and help me to do the very best job I can. I also want to say it's an honor to be ordained with Brother Damon Perry. Brother Damon and myself, we've known each other almost 42 years, and I'm not exaggerating. We have known each other since we were little boys, and he's a mighty fine man, I'll admit it, and I'm glad to be ordained with him tonight. Thank you very much, and God bless every one of you.
Brother Damon, you come. I want Damon's family to stand. Rhonda, would you stand? Of course, she is our church secretary. And Damon's mother is here. Miss Perry, so good to have you. And Brandon, I think I saw Brandon back here. Brandon, would you stand? And Nathan, is Nathan here? Is he around here? Nathan, where's he at? Right over here. Let's give a good hand to their families and thank the Lord for them.
Brother David remembers knowing me longer than I remember knowing him. But I've known David and their family all my life, and it's a privilege to be serving on the deacon board with Brother David tonight also. I grew up in a pastor's home. I wish my father could be here today. I know that he would be very proud of me being able to be nominated for a deacon and serve a church like this. But I believe he's in heaven, and he's looking down, and he said, I knew you'd make something of yourself one day. But I'm glad to have my mother here tonight. She's been there for me every step of the way. I have always felt the presence of my mother's prayer in my life. I can remember when I was just a teenager and maybe a little bit rebellious against the establishment. I would go home at night and I'd look in the windows, and I could still remember seeing my mother and daddy in the den on their knees praying. And I knew they was praying for me. And you don't get away from things like that. And I appreciate being brought up in a pastor's home and in a Christian family that loves the Lord. And it's a privilege for me to be able to serve this church. We came to this church just about 3.5 years ago, 4 years ago. And this church has accepted us and loved us and showed us how much they care for us. And you'll never know what that means. When we decided that we was going to look for another church, and try to be a part of another body. We went to several churches and we visited around, and you really don't know what you've got here unless you go outside these walls sometimes. We would go into some churches and the preacher would stand up to read the Bible, and I was wondering, what is he reading out of? You know, it seemed like there was a dead spirit there where people wasn't friendly and people didn't, you know, accept you into the church. But when we walked into this church and we sat through one service and the choir sang and Brother Ken brought the message, we looked at each other and we knew this is where we wanted to go. And it's been a good part of our life, and it's been a joy to be here and a joy to learn to know y'all. And y'all have really taken us in, and we love you. And I just hope and pray that the Lord will use myself and Rhonda, our family, that we would in turn be a blessing to you. We want to have a spirit of servant, of a servant's heart, in order to serve Temple Baptist Church, because I believe this is one of the best churches that you'll find in this area. I think we have one of the best preachers that you'll find. I think we have all the departments that we have, the youth, the golden agers, the young singles, the young adult classes, the Awanas, everything is geared around one thing, and that's putting the gospel out to this community. And the choir, hey, we got the greatest choir. And it just gives me goosebumps just to sit and hear the choir sing. We had some people with us today, and they were sitting with us, and I told them, I said, I appreciate y'all coming. And I recommended this church very highly to him. I said, there's not hardly a service goes by that I leave this building with a dry eye. And if you let God speak to you and let God open your heart, this is a great place to be at Temple Baptist Church with the mission thrust that we have and everything. But I just thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for thinking enough of us to allow us to serve you. And we just want to be ready and available for whatever God has for us.
I want you to take God's word and turn to Genesis 32, the book of Genesis chapter 32. I shared with these fellows that I was not going to specifically preach a charge to them, but I thought the message would be encouraging to them since they're coming on the deacon body. I want to speak tonight on angels watching over me. 32, beginning in verse 1. I'll read two verses. And again tonight, I want us to think about angels watching over us. The Bible said in Genesis 32, 1, "And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, 'This is God's host.' And he called the name of that place Mahanaim." Thank you. You may be seated. Let's pray. And then tonight, I want us to continue working our way through Genesis as we have for well over a year. And I want us to think, as I said, about angels watching over me. Let's pray. Father, our hearts have already been blessed. And we thank you, Lord, for the good singing tonight that has blessed us and the good singing that has thrilled our heart. But even more for the truth that has been communicated through song. That is what has thrilled our heart, and we thank you, Lord, for it. Thank you for these men that are coming to help us in this area of ministry and our deacons. Pray that you would bless this service tonight, that it would be a memorial service and one they will long cherish and remember in their hearts. We ask you, Lord, that for each that is gathered here, that you would take the next few moments as we listen to your word, that we might grow through your word, that we might continue to mature in your word, that our lives might please you in all things. Holy Spirit of God, do fill us now, giving life to everything that'll be said. For it is in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Well, in the past few years, there has been a dramatic resurgence in the belief of angels and in the interest of angels. Up to a few years ago, you never heard anything mentioned about angels. You never saw anything about angels. But in the past few years, as I said, there has been a dramatic resurgence in both the interest and the belief of angels. One of the major TV programs is called Touched by an Angel. A popular movie that came out a few years ago was entitled Angels in the Outfield. Angels, not too long ago, made the cover of Time magazine, and a feature article in an issue of Newsweek was on angels. Books that relate to angels have reached sales totaling more than 5 million copies. Many of the top-selling paperbacks, if you were to look at the list of the top 100 paperbacks, you would find that a number of them are books about angels. There is even an Angel Watch Network based out of Mountainside, New Jersey, with 1,800 members who are constantly monitoring angel activity. Just out of curiosity this week, I got on the internet just to see what I could find about angels. I was overwhelmed at the number of pages that I found that had something to do with angels. In fact, I was overwhelmed with the number of angel rings that I found on the internet, angel web rings. And of course, a web ring, I'm talking about, you have one page and have all these pages linked to them, so you can go from one page to the other and just go through all of these rings concerning angels. I found the angel ring, the angel circle, the golden angel ring, angels touch web ring, and all of these are just web rings. You can go from page to page to page. I even found a page set aside for people that are named Angel. I submitted my daughter-in-law's name, but they rejected it. But anyway, there's all kinds of angel rings. I even found that there is an angel cyber mall where you can buy angel jewelry, angel clothing, angel crystal, books about angels, art about angels, even meditation tapes to help you better know your angel. There is an angel collection club in America that has over 1,600 members. Joyce Berg of Ballot, Wisconsin, holds the known record with over 10,455 different angel artifacts. And I could go on and on and on and on. I think about a very popular story that appeared a few years ago in Reader's Digest. It was a story about a Dr. S.W. Mitchell, a Philadelphia neurologist, who was awakened one night by a knock at his door. It was a wintry night and a heavy snow was coming down. He opened the door and there stood a shivering little girl who said, "Please, Dr. Mitchell, will you come to my house? My mother is dying." The doctor followed the little girl to the place where she showed him her mother. And he found the mother with a terrible case of double pneumonia. He called for medical care, an ambulance was arranged, and hospitalization was provided for the mother. And the doctor said to the mother, "I just want to commend you on your little girl that she would walk through the streets in all the snow and find me and bring me to your house to take care of you." The mother said, "Dr. Mitchell, I don't have a little girl anymore. My little girl died a month ago." And the story went on to tell how Dr. Mitchell went to the closet and he found in the closet the clothes and the boots that the little girl had been wearing that had knocked at his door that night. The article went on to raise the question if this could have been an angel. A Time survey found that the vast majority of Americans believe in angels. A recent Gallup poll revealed that 76% of teenagers today believe in angels. And again, I could go on and on and on with these things about angels. But what does the Bible have to say about angels? Angels are mentioned in 34 books of the Bible for a total of 273 times, 108 times in the Old Testament and 165 times in the New Testament. The Bible tells us that there are countless numbers of angels that fill the vastness of space around us. And since the beginning of creation, these angels have been involved in human affairs. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 13:2 that some have entertained angels unawares. That is, that many have had angelic encounters were not even aware that this was an angelic encounter. Well, before us in our text in Genesis 32, we find Jacob having an angelic encounter. But it's not a case that he is unaware that there are angels. He is very much aware that there are angels. In fact, it was such a dramatic experience that he even named a place after the angels that he met. I want you to look at the story in Genesis 32, and there are three things that I want us to learn tonight about angels as we see it here in Jacob's meeting of these angels. First of all, I want you to think with me about Jacob's past angelic experiences. Jacob's past angelic experiences. For you see, this angelic experience in Genesis 32 is not the first time that Jacob has had an angelic experience in his life. Prior to this experience, there had been other angelic experiences. For example, mark your place and turn back to Genesis 28. And all of these we have noticed, but I want to remind them of you. You notice in Genesis 28, beginning in verse 10, that Jacob, through angels, had learned the way to God. In Genesis chapter 28, beginning in verse 10, you see how through angels, Jacob had learned how that he could get to God. The Bible said in verse 10 of chapter 28 that Jacob went out from Beersheba and he went toward Haran. And he lighted up on a certain place and he tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillars and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. If you remember in our past studies, we saw that in this dream where Jacob sees the angels ascending and descending upon this ladder, that he learned that night the way to God. He realized that there is a way to God, and he learned that night that the ladder that they saw in his dream represented Jesus Christ, the way that men get to God. Jacob, through angels, learned the way to God. I will say this and then I'll pass on to the next thought. I do not know the role that angels play in our salvation. But we may never know this side of heaven, the role that they played in God's work to bring us unto Himself. And we may never know this side of heaven how much they were involved in all the affairs of our life that brought us unto Jesus Christ. Here in Jacob's life, he learned the way to God through angels. Look in Genesis 31. Not only is it an angelic experience that he learned the way to God, but also he learned the will of God. For you remember in Genesis 31, beginning in verse 11, notice what the Bible said. The Bible said that the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob is testifying to his wives. And he says to his wife, the angel of God came to me and said, and I said, here am I. Verse 12, and he said, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring straight, speckled and grizzled, for I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise and get thee out of this land and return unto the land of thy kindred. Last Sunday night, we thought about going back home. But here is Jacob testifying that it was an angel that told him that he needed to go back home. You see, not only through angels did he learn the way to God, but through angels he learned the will of God. I do not believe that angels, that God speaks to us by angels today. I believe that God speaks to us by the Word of God. But in Jacob's case, he learned what God wanted him to do through the agency of an angel. So you see Jacob's past experiences with angels. And in those past experiences, we see that angels are involved in both heavenly affairs and human affairs. You see that angels are involved in what God wants to be done, and they're involved in what needs to be done in the life of individuals. I think about what the Bible said in Psalm 103 and verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the word of God. You see, angels do God's bidding, and angels are involved in God's business. Angels are involved in His heavenly objectives, and angels are involved in His human objects. You see, angels are involved in a heavenly responsibility. They are involved in a human responsibility as well. Again, angels are involved in heavenly affairs and human affairs, and we see this in the life of Jacob. Now, I don't know all that angels do in our lives, and I don't understand everything about the work of angels in our life, but I do know this, and I am reminded in the Word of God that they are involved in our life day by day by day. We do not see angels. In fact, angels are invisible beings, but I am sure that this very room tonight is filled with thousands upon thousands of angels. And I don't know all that they are doing, but I do know this. They are interested in carrying out the will of God, and they're interested in meeting the needs of man. It's most commonly believed that God has assigned to every individual at least one angel. One Greek historian, Epictetus, said God assigns every man a guardian angel. And Plutarch, the Greek historian, said alongside each man there are two angels, one that is good and one that is bad. Now, the Bible doesn't specifically state whether we have one or two angels assigned to us. All that we can be firm about in the matter is that, like Jacob, angels are involved in answering heavenly commands, and angels are involved in assigning human care. As Charles Wesley said in one of his hymns, "Angels, where'er we go, attend our steps, whate'er betide. With watchful care their charge attend, and evil turn aside." John Calvin, in his Institutes on Christian Religion, said, "The angels are the dispensers and the administrators of the divine beneficence toward us, and they regard our safety and undertake our defense and direct our ways and exercise a constant solicitude that no evil befalls us." You see, in Jacob's past experiences with angels, he learned that angels were involved in everybody's life. But look at the second thing about Jacob's experience with angels. You not only see his past angelic experience, but notice his present angelic encounter. Look in Genesis 32 again. And when you come to Genesis 32, we find the third experience of Jacob with angels. You see, at this stage in Jacob's life, he is learning that God was in charge, and he was learning how to let God be in charge. And he now learns that when one puts God in charge of the affairs of their life, God will take charge of the affairs of their life. It's like the psalmist said in Psalm 91:11, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." And Jacob is learning that when God is in charge, he will charge his angels to take care of the believer. Look what he said in verse 1. "And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him." Now think with me for a moment about this encounter with angels. Think with me about when the angels met him. Again, Jacob is on his way back home. Jacob is on his way back to the place where God wants him to be. He's back in the will of God. But yet as you look at this chapter, you find that Jacob is a very distressed and a deeply troubled man. See there, Jacob is going back to where God wants him to be. He's going back home, but he knows when he gets back home, he's got a brother that he's got to deal with. In fact, look back in Genesis 27 and verse 41. Jacob has never forgot what his brother said to him. In Genesis 27, 41, the Bible said that Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand, then I will slay my brother Jacob." You see, Esau had vowed that one day he'd kill his brother. And Jacob knew he meant every word of it. And for 20 years, Jacob has lived with the fear that his brother Esau would find him. And he knew that when Esau found him, Esau would kill him. Now 20 years have passed, and Jacob is going back home. And he knows he's going to have to meet his brother face to face. In fact, you'll notice in the events that follow this present encounter with angels, you see, you get an idea of how serious Esau was and how worried Jacob was about meeting his brother. Look at Genesis 32, 6 and 7. "And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, We came to thy brother Esau. Also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men are with him." Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. Here is Jacob now having an encounter with angels. When did he have this encounter? It was in a time of great fear. It was in a time of great distress that he has this present encounter with angels. But think with me about why the angels met him. Not only when the angels met him, but notice in verse 2, why the angels met him. Notice what the scripture said. "And when Jacob saw them, he said, This is God's host. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim." See, you notice in verse 2 that Jacob described the angels as God's host. Underscore the word host there. It is a word that literally describes an encampment of troops or an army of soldiers. Jacob now, in a time of distress, suddenly finds that there is an encampment of angels about his life.
In a time of fear, he finds that his life is totally surrounded by an army of angelic soldiers. He's so moved by his experience that he named the place Mahanaim, which means the place of two hosts. You see, Jacob had his own host. He had himself, he had his family, his sons, and he had his servants. But Jacob found out that he had more than his own host. He found out that he had an angelic host that was with him that night. And Jacob found out that he was not alone. It was a time of distress, but it was in that hour that he found himself guarded and encamped around by this multitude of angels. It reminds me what Psalm 34:7 said, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." Now you can get excited if you want to about one or two angels with you. But the Bible tells us that we have more than one angel with us, and we have more than two angels with us. The Bible tells us we have an encampment of angels that are with us. There is an army of angels that are around the life of every child of God. In fact, Psalm 68:17 said the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. I don't know how many thousands are around me. I don't know how many thousands are around you. But there is an army of angels that are around the life of every child of God. Hebrews describes them in Hebrews 12:22 as an innumerable company of angels. There are so many angels around them that you cannot number them. And here is Jacob having a present encounter with angels. And in this present encounter, he finds out there are two hosts involved. There is an army of angels that are around his life. I'm glad tonight there's angels around me, aren't you? There is angels filling this building tonight. We don't see them, but there is an encampment of angels that fill this room tonight. But look at the third and the final thing. You not only see Jacob's previous angelic experiences and Jacob's present angelic encounter, but you see Jacob's private angelic escort. You see, the implication of verse 1 and 2 is that Jacob's encounter of angels that night, that they had come to accompany him in meeting his brother Esau. And Jacob now found himself with an angelic escort. Think about the abiding presence of these angels. These angels just didn't fly in and then fly out. No, it is very obvious here. These angels had come to abide with Jacob. And these angels had come to be an escort at the side of Jacob. Now, listen to me tonight. The presence of angels in our life is a constant thing. They are there by divine charge, and they are there for our daily care. Jesus said in Matthew 18:10, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones." He's not talking about children. He's talking about his little ones, all of his children. And he said, "I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." And the ideal is that the angels of God are constantly watching over us as well as constantly beholding the face of the Father on our behalf. There is the abiding presence of angels. But you'll notice in the story here the available protection of the angels. You see, these angels had been sent by God to Jacob to be his escort. And they were to abide with him, and they were to be available if he would need them when he met his brother Esau. You go on, and I won't take time to read all the passage, but you'll notice how that even after meeting the angels, Jacob is just terrified about meeting Esau. And he begins to try the dull, the edge of the sword in Esau's heart. He sends him an offering, but that didn't work. Here comes Esau with 400 men. And then he even begins to divide everything he's got up. He said, "I want this group to go this way and this group to go this way. If he destroys this group, then this one will be saved, and I won't be totally wiped out." Finally, you read in verse 9 through 12 that he does what he ought to have done in the beginning, and that is he goes to God in prayer. But I say this, that all the fears that Jacob had were needless because God had sent a host to be with Jacob, to be his escort through life. Now, I want to say to you tonight, whether we recognize this or not, but there is angelic, there are angels around us, and there is an angelic escort that has been assigned to every one of us as we go through life. And we have all of our struggles and fears, but I want you to know you have a heavenly escort that is guarding your life day by day. They are not only a present fact in our life, they are a protective force in our life. Angels watching over us day after day. I think about John Wesley, the great Methodist preacher, during his travels, and much of his travels was by horseback. And he often found himself traveling highways that were dangerous for a lone man. In those days, stagecoaches always traveled with armed guards, much like the stagecoaches in the American West. For the highwaymen, the robbers were a constant danger on these roads. One day, John Wesley was riding a lonely stretch when he noticed shadowy forms ahead, forms that vanished behind the bushes and the hedges in front of him. And Wesley immediately knew that it spelled danger, so he began to pray and ask God to take care of him. And no sooner did he begin to pray when he heard hoofbeats coming up behind him, and he turned in his saddle as another traveler rode up alongside him. And Wesley gave the newcomer a cheery greeting, and the two rode on past the place where the robbers lay concealed. And when the robbers saw they were two men, they let them pass. And Wesley, as they got by, he turned to say something to his new companion, only to discover that there was no one there. And Wesley said he vanished, the mysterious rider vanished into thin air. Now, you can draw your own conclusions, but I want you to know God has sent his angels to protect us in life. I like the story of John Payton. John Payton was a missionary to New Hebrides Islands. And missionaries had already lost their life there. And many missionaries would not even think about going to the New Hebrides. The cannibals there, and missionaries had gone there and had died. But John Payton felt that's where God wanted him to go. So he and his wife set up a house and built a hut and set up a mission center and a mission station and began their work among the natives and praying that God would open the door. But there was one particular night when the natives decided they were going to kill John Payton and his wife and his family. Payton and his wife could hear the drums beating all through the afternoon. And as the darkness began to settle, they knew what was in the minds of the natives. And so they got on their knees and they began to pray. And they prayed throughout the night that God would watch over them. Nothing happened that night. In fact, sometime in the night, the natives that had surrounded his hut vanished. About a year later, John Payton led the chief of that tribe to the Lord. And one day they were talking. And Payton asked the chief, he said, "Do you remember a night about a year ago when you came to kill us?" The chief looked at him and said, "Yes, I remember it very well." And Payton said, "Why didn't you kill us? What stopped you? Why did you have a change of heart?" The chief said, "There was no way that we're going to attack you with all those guards around your house." And Payton said, "There were no guards there. It was just me and my wife and my family." And the chief said, "Oh, no, there were guards with shield and drawn swords, and they were bright as lightning." And Payton fell on his knees and thanked God that God had sent his angels to protect him. Are you listening to me tonight? I don't understand all the roles that angels have in our life, but I do know this. There are thousands of angels that are encamped around every child of God, and they have been assigned to us by God as our heavenly escort from earth to heaven to see to it that we get there safely. Like Jacob, we can say, "Praise God, there are angels that are watching over us." Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Let's stand our feet, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes are closed. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I want our deacons to come forward. I want Damon and Rhonda and David and Sharon to come and kneel on this bench, if you would, please. And after a word of prayer, I want our men to come, and we're going to begin to lay hands on them. The laying on the hands is a New Testament act of symbolism whereby we're not imparting anything to these men, but we're simply laying our hands on them as an act of approval. We are saying we believe that this is God's will in your life, and we put our hands on you to acknowledge our belief in you and our confidence in you. That is what the laying of hands is for. And I want us to pray, and then each of the men will go through and pray with Damon and with David. And you can be seated after our prayer. Father, we thank you that in life there is the angels that watch over us and they protect us and they take care of us. And we're so blessed to be a child of God. There's so many things about being a Christian, Lord, it's hard to comprehend them all. But the more we learn about all that we have, the more we realize that we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings, as Ephesians 1:3 declares. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for the angels in our life. Lord, there's no way this side of heaven we'll ever know the many times how angels prevented this and how angels intervened here. We thank you for that escort that we have. Bless now these men, and we thank you for placing them in the work that you have placed them in this body of believers. In Jesus' name,
Amen. You may be seated. Brother Eddie, you lead them through as we lay hands on these men.